Yeah.
And Ari also has a safe.
Hey, we're in business.
We're in business. Okay, we're holding here.
One's ever, if I can just get the recorder started.
Without your tablets.
Oh, right. I didn't bring my tablet.
You must have...
because of the rain, I left it in the car. I was, like, afraid to get it, but...
Okay, now you never see what
happens. Excuses, all about excuses.
Okay. Second.
Thank you.
I saw someone with a waterproof one ski on their phone. So they can talk on their phone in the snow.
Well,
you got one of these.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, we're holding here Chaf Hei. It's Amud Zayin, if you're in the same print as I am. Okay. So he was explaining about the fact that we're Balei Chisaron, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it so we should mashem ourselves. And he says, there's something that I need to be makdim for this nekuda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating people Balei Chisaron. Amar Neshama Mahi. What does he want to explain? There's nothing that limits HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to create us b'shleimus. And that really should have been it. His ma'isim also should be shleimus. Ella shekasha gozer chachmosel aniach laadam sheyashem u'satzmoi bara bria seilu chaseres hashleimus. It's when he decided that the best thing is they should be mashed themselves, he scaled back. In other words, what he's trying to explain is it's a midah of scaling back rather than a lack of doing. It's breaks. That, I guess the best way to put it is the breaks were applied rather than the carrying out of gas. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was me'akiv his godless. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will impose my inherent actions are b'li soif, and the toiv b'li soif, and that would include the shleimus. Since Chachma has decided that the best thing for the person is to be a chasa, we will impose chisarin on the person. He's hinting at something here, and he's going to say the next line. V'chan nichleles hayediyah acheres v'ima Hashem razal shakai she'omol elomay dai. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu stole the word die. V'shashamayim o'inim toch v'olchat she'gorbe v'shkosu b'breishis. So we find, so he introduces here a concept which would be analogous to Midas Hadin, the sense of cutting things down to a certain size is really Midas Hadin. As opposed to, so the basic meat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rachmim Merubim, is Tuvah HaGadol, and there's no end to it. That's the basic meat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On top of that has been imposed a midah of limits and chesaron for the good of the Bria. So it works in layers. So you have a musig of HaKadosh Baruch Hu reigning in, which you have a musig which was like HaKadosh Baruch Hu being metzamtzem, his hashpah for the good of the Bria, and so on. And that's the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu shakai, she'omu lelomu dai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu included dai as a limit to the world. Behainu. He could have created much more and much bigger. And if he would have wanted to create them in line with his own mitzias, they would have no end. Because Baruch Hu created the world to fit that which he created. So let's give an example. Let's say I'm preparing a meal. So I can go two directions. One direction is if this is your ordinary Wednesday evening supper, and I have somebody coming over, or my spouse, or whatever it is. So I say to myself, how much can they eat? And that's how much I want to make. So if they can do a quarter of a chicken with a potato, a quarter of a chicken with a potato, and that's that. But let's say I'm making a simcha. So I don't say to myself, how many people and how much can they eat? If the purpose of the simcha is for me to show my lavishness, depending on how we want to interpret it, to show off my wealth, to show off my party planning abilities, it's very rarely to make the other person happy. There was somebody in the rear many, many years ago who married into a very wealthy family, like Shalikifi Erika. I mean, he went from being a poor boy to a wealthy guy. He was also kind of, what the right word to say is it? He had a certain crudeness, no clue as to that. So the first time he was going to invite Baruch Yeshiva, he turned to a friend of his to give him advice in like what to serve this and that. So this other person was a letz, unfortunately. And he told him, first thing is, he says, everyone gets two big chazaron. He said, that's gracious. They get a whole fish. This is for the forgiveness out here. And he said, no Coca-Cola on the table, only wine, Fantasia and other wines. And he gave him like a whole setup. And the poor guys who came to eat it didn't know what hit them. Even Yeshiva Bacha has limits as to how far he can go with it. The dai, yeah. So Akadosh Baruch Hu said he gave dai in certain limits and so on.
Does this mean there's a chazal that talks about Yaakov saying, is that the same
meter? In other words, the ability, no matter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Haggis have the imposition of limits that relate to the person receiving it. If I say I can't handle more, let's say a doctor is an oncologist and he says, we need X amount, and the patient says, I can't handle any more of it. So the patient is right in the sense that he can't handle it. It's mitzad, mitzad the doctor's pa'ula, it needs this amount, the question is, can the patient handle it? Dai is an imposition from the patient's needs onto it. And his needs are really, Akash Baruch should impose certain gvulas. If the Akash not include the gvulas, we have nog makam kiyam. It's all Akash Baruch, none of it is us.
What about the freedom of going to some scientific, but like vestigial organs and things like that?
What?
Vestigial organs?
Vestigial organs, yeah.
Are those an expression of dye? That there's inefficiencies or
I don't think, first of all, I'm a koifa that there's such a thing. If you take a look, I've read, you can Google it, New York Times had an article about how the lowly appendix has been found to be very important. And there's a fellow here, he has a son here, Bogatz. His son just came to learn Shivigdolo. Bogatz is a South African, about two of them many years ago, scientific background, and he wrote a book, Genesis and Genes, or Genes and Genesis, I'm not sure. He has a very, what? So here's an article, you can go online, about vestigial organs. One by one, the organs stop being vestigial. In other words, one of the things that people are very, very, don't understand, lura ina in raya, just because you can take out a spleen and a person lives, or you can take out an appendix and live, doesn't mean they don't have a function. So for instance, they found out that people who don't have appendix have more of an incidence, I think, of heart disease, possibly. What they traced it, Dr. Huller from NIH told me, that it's all the same mahalach. He said any place that you have in the body, like two adjoining areas, he said like the tonsils are there and the appendix, he said you need a reservoir of bacteria, good bacteria, to keep fighting bacterial coming. It's a tell us. He said they've discovered that a while back already. There are no things like that. it's just by saying that we don't know what the, or even if you take it out and we don't see an immediate effect, doesn't mean that in the long run it's not an effect. The Shlomo Shadron once had a gvaldik mashal. It's something about something ruchnius. He had a mashal about, it was during war, and they discovered the telegraph wires. The telegraph wires had been cut in Russia someplace. That's sabotage. So the kids, they sent the best army unit, they traced it to a certain town, and they found the wire in somebody's backyard, in a farmer's backyard. Kitzer, they took him and his wife to court martial, and he said, "It's on my." He said, "You know, we needed wire desperately, to, you know, whatever it." And my wife was very smart. Said, "Listen, you see all these wires? Their job is to hold up those poles. I think those poles will stand with five wires instead of six wires. Take my word for it." And I cut the wire, and she was right. The poles stood like before. So obviously, I haven't affected Russia in any way. And, you know, they take a look. He said, the thing doesn't shake. And the poles stand really, really stark. You know, what's the you know, if we have an idea of what the toelis is, and then we say, okay, we don't know. So, I the word vestigial organs is a fraud. It's things I don't know. I attribute to the fact they were left over for something else. You know, that's your theory, and it's been disproven time and again that things actually work very well. Yeah. So he says. So there's this musik of die that Kosh Baruch imposed on it. What's the basic apparatus to show you? Avram fell nifal die and sheshim and mida atchuna nusim and fiam achum behem. V'nim tzashal kapanim ike kaviyach cholte harbei ubilti bal tachas. Kosh Baruch reigned in his infinite ability. It does not do according to what it can do, but it operates in keeping in line with what the brios need. This lemaisa, in a certain sense, is the key to understanding the mahalach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's listening. Why does not HaKadosh Baruch Hu do something? Look what's going on in Snap. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in accordance with what the Bria lets him do. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzamtzem himself to fit the Bria. So if the Bria does something which does not allow him to deal with it, mitzat tuvai, there's not going to be a gil mitzat tuvai. We ask ourselves, where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hatava that he allowed this to happen, that to happen, the other thing to happen? The answer is, well, I'm not working mitzvah me'atava. Most of the things in the world is kefi your erech, not my erech. And whatever it is that you allow, that's what's happening.
That's, I mean, there's certainly the element in the human world where humans will do things that are incredibly evil and destructive, and that way will be,
right,
so to speak, my echo's broken toe. But it sounds like this is from the perspective of the natural world.
Everything. It's everything. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed limits on himself, and those limits are the gvulas of the world of the world doing. So if there's an order of nature, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled back and allows nature, you know, to set the boundaries, the limits of what can or can't be done.
So does that mean if there are tectonic plates, there are going to be earthquakes, and if there are bacteria, there's going to be illness?
Yes, and it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, some things are, for instance, why the plates shake at certain times, anyone knows. No one knows. You know, there can be a Yad Hashem in it as well, but there's no question. The question of why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu so quote unquote helpless? The answer is because that's how he made the Bria, that he pulled back to allow for the Bria to emerge.
Why did it have to emerge with Ra? Why couldn't it just emerge not complete Tov?
That Ra, in a certain sense, is the limitation of Tov. Listen, any person who grows up, quote unquote, naturally is going to be selfish. Tov is something that you draw into the world. You know, when people speak about innocent babes, haven't had babes because anyone, you know, kids are naturally selfish. You know, kid doesn't wake up wanting to say, I'd like to share with this. Am I right? I have a friend of mine whose oldest two kids were like, whoa. It was like cat and mouse. So finally decided to set them down, gave them a big musish moose about the value of sharing, this and that. And then he turns to the boy who was older and he says, Simi, I want you to show me an example of sharing. So Nod goes into the bedroom, comes out with one of his sister's toys and says, I'm sharing her toys. You know, Taiv needs to be drawn into the world. The world is, the Ra is the natural order of things when not, when you don't have an imposition of Tov from the outside. I remember I once read, in New York City, when they had the blackout in the 60s, there was rioting and looting, this and that. And it was expected. New York's a jungle, and you know, and it's a Kol Chayero, and so on and so forth. Montreal, a few years later, had a police strike for a few days. And the city also went on a rampage. And people were stunned, because Montreal is kind of a very nice state, well-behaved, you know, city, and so on and so forth. People didn't realize Tov is if in the natural order of the non-divine Bria, Tov is not natural to it. Tov is drawn in. So there are midas and certain things that draw in Tov, but it's not natural, it's not innate to it.
So it's like it's probably created a Bria that is greedy and selfish.
He didn't create a Bria to be selfish. He created a Bria devoid of automatic elikim. So then automatically it's like that. This exists onto itself. So what's the difference if it's this, if it's a plant? Every plant tries to get as much sunlight and water as it can by the other one. And same with a human being. There's no reason why we ought to, why we should be good. Exactly. So the Chelek HaMigal is an unnatural piece that's in me, not of this world, that my job is to help it manifest itself in this world. Okay, so let's put a cap on this. Zaklal, Alakai Yisparach Shmoi Mona, be Kaviochas Atzapir. Shemona is Yecholtoi. He limited himself. Bevroi Nevroav Shalasa Zifikocho. Elvi Masheratzav Ekim Behem. He did not make them to his ability, but to his decision as to what's appropriate for them. Ubram chaser gashimas himisatsum. Vieshle musum schorum biskus mashatokla sigoy, becholzer akbert soisela hativa tovashleba. So in a certain sense, he's referring to the concept of tzimtzum in a big way. Tzimtzum is the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's limiting himself. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposes certain limits on himself, kaviyachol, when he created the world. So that the world is not a reflection of God's ability, it's a reflection of God's ability with a big with a big ring around it containing the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not act according to his ability. That's what it is. Okay, Chavtes. Yes.
Describe is the whole Bria as it is being selfish. A lot of times, students history of thought, and they feel like everything in the Bria is basically Tayyiv, and human beings are selfish, but like all nature is perfect. And there's kind of chazal.
Where did
like
they
that.
See that? What's the example?
Really shut up to Estefkida. I mean, you know, they do.
Forget it. Let's take the Chazara picture with students.
Totally
what's good? Where in the forest, the only law that I know of that rules in any place other than human is survival of the fittest. So I don't see where you see that. It's not like that. There's no inherent goodness. It's nice. The people want to paint nature as being so benevolent and beautiful. And that it's not. It's a survival of the fittest. Right? Yeah.
I've heard the question the opposite way, that we see there's so much pain and suffering and destruction in nature.
Right.
All killing each other.
Right. You know, it's everything, the only thing, anything living is programmed to do is to survive, and to survive to the best of its ability. And to, you know, Higdilu, the people that are kofar. One of the big questions on atheists is, where does goodness come from? Where does it come from? Why do people have feelings about goodness? So we have a chachma that it's an altruism gene developed because right, it's better, since it's better for the bria, for mankind. Mankind can survive better if people will be good to cooperate. So it's there, which basically means that I now I have a great choice. I can say, am I interested that the human race survive till the year, 3,000, or would I rather have a good time myself? I'd rather should I get married and have kids? Getting married and have kids reduces my pleasure immensely. Each kid costs $287,000 to raise. That's without tuition, and without a hat, a jacket for a bar mitzvah. Should I enjoy myself? I very few people choose to perpetuate the human race. A lot of people in China perpetuate the human race. Let the Mexicans do it. It's not kind. Whatever kindness we have is a vestige of that chelikal kaimimau. It's a myth. It's like Bambi the deer. There's a myth about nature, about sweetness and kindness and beauty. It's not that the forest is a place where people are always eating each other. Amar nisham atesh ma'akdama zay shema. Let's hear the other akdama. Lamed amar seichel onu tzrichim lehavin atam eheichen nimtzu koyach b'adam lashach esanaisa kibush nivra chasa. So now he's asking the question: if I am a chaser, then where do I have myself the idea, the ideal of doing right and good? In other words, where is the Nakuda? You're telling me HaKadosh Baruch Hu limited me, and it limited the world to create a world that is self-centered and selfish, doesn't have any divine attributes. So where does Adam strive for it? Where does Adam get that idea if it's not part of it? Amar Seichel on a tzichem lahavin ato meichel nimtzikach parashkin hoisav kim shevachasa. Omnam, he says, hinei anach nechnasim bet miyama godol v'rucha b'day moed. Now we're going to go into a big yam. Katzos rabbis does it tzorchel on a kren shavashem sinyoni. We're going to need many akdamas till we get to it. V'hinei l'chot tzorech masin. You need to go slowly. L'hov nadvar m'seid anachon ki zeh derech ha-chachma liknes yidiyah zuha chazun. Ad she b'seif ha-kol yotze le'ir le'or inyin echot sholem shutzchu b'avuruk akdamas ahim. So he said that we need many, many pieces over here in order to put things straight and right and so on. Now let's talk about something here. I just want to. People equate long, drawn out, complicated answers with evasion or whatever it is. It's like we don't like it. And the Rambam says it also many places. Let's give an example. Somebody once asked me, an Israeli fellow, a true story, somebody asked me, this person is brilliant, never learned science yet. He asked me, I should explain to him how a computer works. Now, the problem is, it needs many layers of explanations, pre-explanations. One, how a circuit works, and how a semiconductor works, in the concept of regulating a circuit, the concept of logic gates, the concept of being a binary system, the concept of being able to make layers and layers of circuits. All of these things are very, very difficult because, if you know all the things, how does a car work? So if you know the concept of an engine, and you know the concept of a transmission, you know the concept of wheels, you know this, you know that, it's not so difficult to explain them in the big, broad scopes. But if none of this is good to you, at some point the person will stop you and start making fun. Aha, so this is like a long pilpul. It's not a long pilpul, it's many hakdamas, and this is a sophisticated version of all those hakdamas. So to give an appropriate answer of where from whence comes the good in a person? Let me fine tune the question. We assume that within a person, it's the netiya. For instance, the reason why I can relate to music and learn to play music, compose music, is because I have a musical sense in me. If I didn't have it in me, it wouldn't. I'd never be able to develop it. Now, we don't have a problem with this question because since it's all inside us and it could be more, it could be less, so we have some potential, and then it comes out to being, it gets developed, and you become a real musician.
Is something circular about that, though? Or is I have the ability to produce that which I appreciate, but I can produce it because I appreciate it. I'm producing what I appreciate.
Correct.
Not producing what necessarily a different species would appreciate.
I understand, but you realize when you do something for the sake of aesthetics, when you do something for the sake of anything, it means you had it in you, and this is coming out. So his question was, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria limited, the assumption is they're missing the pieces, either or. Either they have it full-blown, or they're missing it. The idea that you can have it a little bit doesn't seem to fit his idea. That we can be a little bit good. A person could be like Tzelem Elokim. A person could be greatness. So what exactly is this? How does this work? Okay. So you said... let's see. We'll have another small piece in. Omenish Shama. Dabba, dabba. Allah Seyda. Nochem. V'ni mikshem chalakon. Okay. I'm patient. Go. Lamed Beis. Omer Seichol. His best case scenario is not a total gil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's Ein Sof, but rather a full gilui of a certain area of Toif. V'zeh dava poshu nirtzeh moed min ha'tam, ki efshe lo'ol v'nivra shekemoina l'chasik v'shem esu v'shemoyim. The very fact that we're nivroim means we are a step down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'kin yasham ha'cheka l'kaitim tzeh ma'tach l'shaki t'motzeh. V'nimtzeh. So no matter, at best case scenario, we're dealing with a part and not a whole. In other words, in the big picture, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if we were to be Sholem, we wouldn't be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We would be totally like HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the framework of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu allocated for us. So that's going to be the first symptom, so to speak. Is that not all of goodness was even up for grabs? Even if man was perfect and we're living at Eden forever, we wouldn't be equal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we would all our 100% of our self would be divine. Not the 100% of divine would be in us, but 100% of us would be divine. That's the first point that he's saying. That's a third stage. In other words, if we're to map it out, there are three stages. There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed Ein Sof. That's the core of why he wanted to create us. There's the imposition of Midas Adin on it, because the realization that man deals best with Midas Adin, that's the true happiness, only part of it can be scale and so on. And then there's a realization that given pure Midas Adin, we're all doomed to failure, we're going to be moving back we're going to add a little bit of credit to, I'll give you a mashal. Just like you're supporting your kid, and you realize that he's not doing very much, and giving him is not a great idea. So you throw the book at him, and you say, okay, you're going to have to earn your way, and if a day that you earn a dollar, you're not going to have what to eat. You realize that the kid is struggling, and if you really take it to the umpteenth tee, he's going to starve to death. So you extend him some credit, but enough to help him along, but not enough to replace his having to work and so on. That's how you work.
There's a conundrum here, though, of saying that Hashem gave us part of something that has no parts.
That has no?
It can't be divided into any parts.
It can be divided into any parts, but it can be imitated, let's call it. I don't know what the right word is. It can be reflected, imitated. Remember, infinite has many dimensions. So we don't have the scope of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in it, but in any particular Nekuda, we're Chelek HaKayim Mal. Any Nekuda we could bring out, we're able to bring it out. Okay, we'll hold it here. Next Wednesday, I'm not going to be here. What? Next week I won't be here, but in 2 weeks, I said I won't be here.
Let's talk about spring break as while we're all here.
Spring break.